Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, always filmed in poor lighting. Welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel. And today we're going to be talking about Child of Light for the Nintendo Switch and other games. Right, so you're probably wondering why we're reviewing Child of Light, a game that came out in 2015.
I am. It's 2018, buddy.
I'm sorry that I'm so behind the times. But recently they Ubisoft?
No, that feels wrong.
Ubisoft.
Ubi? Is it Ubi or Ubi?
Ubisoft, I've always said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm doubting myself.
Ubi just is not how you say you know?
Ubi?
I'll be soft.
Uzi soft.
Anyway, soft.
I'm scared, but go on.
Ubi I soft.
Yeah.
Ubi soft. Oh, God.
I don't know.
The game company
I've never been so uncertain about a game company.
A game company that a lot of people famously hate, but then I think everyone won over. Like, they won everyone back, and then because they're like, oh, EA, we hate them more.
Yeah, yeah.
Have re-released Child of Light Ultimate Edition on the Nintendo Switch in the middle of October, I think. So, yeah, I've been playing that recently, and I have some thoughts. So, first of all, I'll just start with the story and setting. Oh, also, just to make this clear, I had never played it until I bought it.
Yeah,
on
I was going to ask if you played it when it came out in 2015.
No. 2015, I was too busy. Probably just looking at my GameCube and being like, I love you. Current consoles, what are they?
GameCube.
GameCube or death?
What happened to cube console?
It has a handle. You're in your lounge room, just picking up your cube. I love you. I love you.
People keep busting and being like, hey, don't you want to play a current game? I'm like, no.
I'm too busy kissing my GameCube.
Think about
Leave
it.
Leave me alone.
Benefits. Cube, little discs.
Handle.
Less
free.
Space. A handle. Take it out exactly. To the beach.
Look, maybe like a bit of like a little lunchbox.
Yeah, exactly.
Confuse people.
Keep a sandwich
in
there.
All the listeners out there, if you've got a GameCube, I need you to go give it a kiss and tweet us photos of you kissing your cube. Hashtag kiss your cube. Anyway, Child of Light. So yeah, I hadn't played it. I knew it was the type of game that I thought I would like. It's kind of like a 2D platformer RPG. Really nice looking game. Kind of has like a hand-drawn look.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The story I had no idea about, and I will give you a quick run through. So basically, the main character, Aurora, is the daughter of a duke. She's born in 1895.
Okay.
In the pre-telling of the story, you find out that Aurora's mom, the duke's wife, dies. The duke remarries, and then after a few years, Aurora also wakes up dead.
Oh.
Her body is found frozen.
All yeah. right.
You don't wake up dead. You're just dead.
No, she woke up dead. So she's dead, which is famously a strange place for a video game to start with the main character dying.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
But in a twist, similar to Alice in Wonderland or something similar, I guess. Alice in Wonderland, the other Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You then take control of Aurora, who is dead, but has woken up in Lemuria? Yeah.
Yeah.
The, it's a place that has been in fiction and things like that before. And she needs to get back to her father, who is so upset, he is also bedridden.
Oh, man.
He might wake up dead soon.
Oh,
might wake up dead soon. Everyone's waking up dead in this game.
So it's a very fairy tale-esque?
It's so fairy tale-esque, but I'll get to that in a second. Because my initial response to the game deals directly with that. So I'll get to that in a second. pretty early on in the game, you find out you need to go to a mirror to get back to your sad dad and stop him from being sad and be like, Papa, it's me. I'm not dead.
But I am, kind of.
The mirror is kept in the throne room of the Queen of the Night. Mm-hmm. And to get there, you first need to save the sun, the moon, and the stars
that's
to
great.
Revive the Queen of the Light.
That's so good.
It is. It's sounding very fairy tale, very kind of like...
I'm a big fan of that. There's something really nice about, like, not like, oh, save the seven kings or, like, collect the eight crystals. It's like sun, the moon, and the sun. It's like, it's very conceptual, but, like, I am a fan of that. Mm.
So, my initial hesitations when I loaded up this game was, my God, this is very lame, and I'm not sure if this is for me.
Fair. It doesn't scream cool.
it doesn't scream like, hey, I used to play Tony Hawk, what is this?
And kiss my game.
There's nothing less similar to Tony Hawk than Jar of Light.
All of the dialogue that's spoken in the game is said in like a rhyming way, similar to a fairy tale.
That certainly sounds annoying.
Yeah, it is.
I'm on borderline. Like, that sounds annoying, but is it good?
It means that the theme is very much like, there's no like nods and winks or anything like that.
That's great.
It's just
that
like,
is good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first couple of, probably like 2 hours, I was like, oh man, I like this game a lot when people just shut up. Because the battle system is really, really fun. I found it, the platforming at first, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. Mm. It's actually very similar to Limbo in the way that it plays,
really?
The way that it controls and stuff like that, until a new mechanic is introduced relatively early in the game. Because at first your character can just jump and walk and like grab and pull things and stuff like that, very similar to Limbo. But then you get the ability to fly.
Uh-huh.
So that changes, like, there's no longer any, like, gaps you can't jump over, because you can fly.
Okay.
And I thought that they were going to take that away from me, but they did not.
That's nice. So the combat system, so it's like an RPG kind of turn-based? Or
yes.
I don't know much about this game, but to me, I thought, like, oh, it looks like sort of Final Fantasy-esque.
It's time-based, it's turn-based, but also... it's a weird system that I haven't seen before, but I think it is taken from one of the Final Fantasy games, but I haven't played that much Final Fantasy. But I can describe it to you, and maybe you guys can help. Also, I should probably mention, the lameness kind of fades as you get more characters. So, at first, it's just Aurora, but then your party grows.
Okay.
And the new characters talk a little less fair. Well, they still talk in a fairy tale way, but they're from the world, so it's a little less like, oh my, what is this? Yeah. Rhyme, rhyme, rhyme. They're like, yeah, I'm a mouse lad, I got a bow.
Life's pretty rad.
Life's pretty rad. Come on, let's go. Yeah, and there's also the first character you meet is a clown, a jester, and she breaks the rhyming slang. So rhymes, and then she'll say something that doesn't rhyme, and then you're accompanied by a firefly, and the firefly's like, no, I think you meant this. So that's pretty good, because the firefly just gets angrier and angrier every time she talks, and she's a fun character to play as. All right, so the battle system.
Yep.
Your party consists of two characters, so pretty early on in the game, you end up with more than two characters. You can only have two in the fight at a time, and you verse up to three enemies at the same time. There is a bar down the bottom that your characters scroll across. It has weight and then cast. Once you hit the cast bit, you get to pick what you'd like to do, and then you perform that action at the end of the bar. Depending on how fast your characters are, depends on how fast they move across the thing.
Okay,
cool. I think that definitely sounds like a Final Fantasy sort of system, or at least kind of inspired by one. Yeah. I just don't know which one.
It's really interesting to have a game that is a platformer and then a turn-based RPG.
Yeah, and the Firefly that I just mentioned offhandedly before is actually controlled by... So you control your character with the left stick on the Switch, but on the right stick you control the Firefly, so they're two independent characters. The Firefly can also glow, which heals your characters, but in a fight you can heal your characters and slow down the enemy, because if you get hit after you've performed the action, after you've selected your action but haven't performed it, it interrupts you and you go back to the start. So that is fun when you know what you're doing, but in the first couple of fights, very annoying.
I can't imagine.
Not annoying, because it wasn't the game's fault, and once I figured out how it worked...
Isn't that great when you're like, I'm bad at this, and the game is fine, this is 100% me.
Yeah, because I'm someone in RPGs that I kind of grind a little bit, and this game is actually very fun for grinding, because the fights, there's not heaps and heaps of them, but they're all pretty exciting, because you never really... get to a point where you're just like overwhelming enemies. Even in parts where I go back, I still have to like try. I'm not just like one hitting everyone.
That's great.
But when I play RPGs, I get to a point where I'm just like, yeah, sweet, let's just brute force this. Does not work in this game. Much too... So my death count's very high. I'm very glad this game doesn't keep track of that, because I'd be embarrassed. It also, the battle system, once I got a hang of it, is so addictive. So even though I was hesitant at first with this and all the fairy tale thing, and I was like, this isn't me. Give me a GameCube and I'll give you some kisses. Don't know how about this, sir.
Yeah, if I ever were describing Dusha, lover of a fairy tale is not something I would describe.
From a fairy tale.
I'd be like, maybe wears a baseball cap backwards
on
often.
The Tony Hawk to fairy tale scale. You're on the Tony Hawk side.
Firmly a Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I think I'm smack dab in the middle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, best more fairy tale, worlds. To be honest. I'm not radical at all.
So as the fights get a little bit more complicated later in the game, you find yourself doing a lot of stuff like trying to slow down an enemy, but you're like, all right, cool, I need to take this hit. Can I manage that? Should I heal? Because like things like using items also, you can be interrupted. So let's say you're low in health. You're like, I like 40 potions. Yeah, good luck using them, idiot.
You're describing so many of my, like, Final Fantasy games. I'm like, all right, cool. All I gotta do is do a potion. I do the click, hit the potion. Okay, so now that character's dead, and we're throwing a potion at the dead body. Cool.
Excellent.
Cool.
Excellent.
Maybe I'll use a Phoenix down. All right, that character, use a Phoenix down. All right. They're dead. Ah, good.
Something that it does that, so you can swap your party mid-fight. Okay. You can't plan your party before a fight. So if you win a fight, those two characters are the ones that are going into the next fight regardless.
Oh,
so once you get to the cast point, you instantly swap characters and whoever you select then gets a move straight away. So it doesn't punish you for swapping characters. But if one of your characters dies, their corpse stays on the field and doesn't instantly swap. So you still need to use your turn to swap out dead fella.
Man. Is there an animation where the new person comes in and just sort of drags the corpse out, comes in, and is just like, we're sorry.
I wish it was that.
Oh my God.
They come in and scream, ah, no, my good friend.
Bow mouse.
Yeah. So the fighting is easy to learn and then very complicated to master, but it is like, I can't express that it is like, I've been playing it so much, even though it's a relatively short game. I'm like, I don't want to miss anything. I want to do all the side quests. Give me some more fights. And it looks beautiful. There is some things that I have still take issue with. Like some of the dialogue is a little bit like, all right, I get it. You didn't need to put this here. You're just putting it to be like, oh, we're clever. I am about 2/3 of the way through the game, unless the lot. So it's divided into chapters, and I've looked at how many chapters are in the game. 7/10 of the way through. So unless the last couple of chapters are really long, I'm pretty close to finishing it. I've had a good time with it.
So how long are you reckon you've been playing this for?
I think I've put it'd be like 7 or 8 hours in so far.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's for an indie game. It's
good to
have
7 or 8 hours into a game and not be bored yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like to still be enjoying the gameplay. Mm. Does it keep it fresh? Like, you know what I mean? A lot of indie games I find you hit that 2/3 of the way through and you're like, cool. Everything's kind of spelled out.
They've
for me.
Started to incorporate platforming elements that weren't earlier in the game, even when you learn how to fly. So I'm finding myself that I'm actually having to maneuver through stuff outside of fights. Like,
cool.
So it's like spikes and fire and stuff like that, and I need to fly through gaps and be careful and things like that. And they're pretty good at introducing new characters, like adding new people to your party. I would be shocked if there's more than one more character for me to get, because I've already got like 5 or 6. But yeah, they kind of don't really build to the overarching plot except for one character that I've met so far. It's pretty good. I'm having a good time with it. There is only 2 difficulties on it though. Okay. Casual and expert. Which, as Thumb Cramps go, we're very, very firm believers of playing on normal. This game does not have that. It's either easy or hard.
That's rough.
And casual, it's weird because the descriptions also are not insulting, but funny, because casual is like, for those who love the story and just want to have a good time. And then expert is like, for those that appreciate a challenge and want to be sweaty whilst playing video games.
There's so many games that I've like played or have started playing, and they offer that story mode.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, I don't know why I don't do it. Because, like, I don't have, like, a huge amount of time, and these games are maybe, like, 100-odd hours or whatever.
Jesus.
And it's just like, yeah, look, maybe skipping all that combat would be a good idea, but I'm like, no, I can't. I just can't. Maybe I should.
See, the problem is, when I read those categories, I didn't read casual and expert. I heard it was like coward, normal, coward and hero.
Brave. A brave boy, cowardice.
One thing that I'd recommend with this when it comes to difficulty, and this would be like relatively my conclusion of this, play on expert. I haven't had that much experience with turn-based RPGs that are like this. I've played like a lot of Pokemon and stuff like that, but never anything that's like an active battle system whilst also being turn-based. Never played a game like that. I'm not struggling. I probably die once every boss fight.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Enough that it's not frustrating, but also it's not like I'm just like walking in. I gestured walking. I don't know why. Walking into a boss fight and being like, strong,
brave walk.
I've got this. So yeah, I have to think about battles and stuff like that. Also, I don't know if the story is engaging enough to have been happy if I played it on casual.
Okay. All
right.
So overall, on our famous Thumb Cramps thumb score, I'm probably going to give it four thumbs.
Four thumbs is pretty good. What did it lose that fifth thumb for?
I don't... I could imagine people losing interest very early on in the game. Okay. And I don't know if it does enough to sort of warrant some of the dialogue and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a perfect game, but it's very good and very fun. And for the price that it is on the Switch, if you're a fan of like Limbo, I would recommend playing it because it has very much the same feel, but it's like Limbo is like a goth version of this. Yeah, it's like $30 Australian on the Switch store. It's definitely worth it. You'll probably get about 5 to 10 hours out of it.
You've
I imagine at least 10. I'm not that bad at the game to be like, I could have beaten this
in 5 hour game.
All right, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Four thumbs.
It's good to yell. Four thumbs!
Four thumbs! Kiss your GameCube!
Can do. But before I even think about laying a sweet smooch on that beautiful purple exterior, let's just have a quick word from our sponsors.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
And if you like the show and want more things to listen to, check out all our other podcasts on the SansPants Network over at sanspantsradio.com. Now, last time I started talking about how I played what is in essence the spiritual successor of Theme Hospital.
Yep.
I'm realizing like I like nostalgic games because I miss my past because I'm old. So I started to go on a bit of a rabbit hole down Steam, and I found basically almost like a reskinned or just basically carbon copy of a game that I used to love playing as a child.
Leisure Suit Larry?
No.
Boy and his blob.
No.
I am so certain that A Boy and His Blob is Sam's favorite game. I don't know where I got this. It's not true.
A bit of backstory for this little tangent is, so Boy and His Blob came out on the PlayStation 4, I think, and I came home one day, and Jackson was like grinning and beaming from ear to ear because he thought he'd done something very nice for me. And he's like, look, Samet, I got your favorite game when you were a child, Boy and His Blob. And I was like, what? What game?
Oh, that reminds me. I got your favorite Super Nintendo game, Joel Samet. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
I just don't know why I was so sure you loved A Boy and His Blob.
I was like, I've never played this game in my life.
You politely played it for a bit I did. For me. To be like, yeah, I guess it's fine.
Was it fine?
It was fine.
Okay. That was amazing.
I don't even know how... Like, this is a surprise review for Boy and His Blob. How does it play?
You're a boy and you have a blob and you can get the blob to do things like become a ladder and become a jumpy thing.
Yeah.
It looked like, yeah, hey, this might be a lot of fun. or maybe I think it was originally on the Game Boy.
Yeah, maybe.
And it might have been fun for a handheld thing, but for like the PS4, you're kind of like, it's
like a remake as well.
Fair enough. You're a good friend. Anyway,
look, hey, good friend.
It was like, you know, the thought.
Hey, the thought count. I was very touched. It was very sweet of you. But no, I used to play a game called Dungeon Keeper and Dungeon Keeper 2 a lot. I think it was made. Yeah, it was made by Bullfrog, the same people that made Theme Hospital. And so I know EA recently, and I mean recently, within like the last, I don't know, 5 years.
That's pretty recent.
That's pretty recent.
That's recent on like a cosmic scale. Like that.
Kids that were born 5 years ago are now in school.
Exactly. So recent. They released it for iOS.
Yeah.
And I was very excited when that happened. So I downloaded it, and I was like, sweet, sick. And it was just a cash grab. It was like you couldn't do anything unless you waited or spent a lot of money doing it. And I'm just like, this is pathetic. Yeah. And made me very frustrated and instantly deleted because I love that property. So I found this thing on Steam. It was called War for the Overworld, and it just basically looked exactly
what a
like
name.
Dungeon Keeper. And I was so excited, so I installed it, and it was, you know, I started playing it, and from what I could see, it was played exactly like Dungeon Keeper. You basically dug out your area where you wanted to build. You could, like, there was a portal there that you could summon your attract monsters,
okay,
depending on what you know, building you built. It's like very much, it's an RTS.
Yeah, sure.
And so I was very, very excited. However, I use a Mac.
Okay.
Now I'm sorry, PC Master Race and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't really play a lot of PC games.
Sure.
I'm mostly console, so Switch or PS4, sometimes iOS because I have like an iPad. And yeah, every time I go on Steam, I make sure there's a little Mac icon because that makes me happy when things are there. So for example, so Divinity Original Sin 2, not out on the Mac, and I'm sad.
No, that's
but odd. This one, it had a little Mac icon, so I was very, very excited to install it.
Mm.
Then it just became very shuddery. I couldn't play it in the slightest, and everything was just basically unplayable. So I assume this is a very good game,
yeah.
But I just don't know. And it's just one of these things of being a Mac owner and basically exclusively using Macs, where it just becomes very frustrating because I also like a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you say. Hey, why don't you go and use a PC?
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to use a PC recently, but because I've been exclusively using a Mac for the last maybe 15 years, I basically feel like my Nana holding a Game Boy, where I just don't know what to do. So, unfortunately, I'm going to give this a shrug out of 5 thumbs, because honestly, I don't know. It looked a lot of fun, and from the trailers and all the kind
what
of
about
other
the
gameplay,
brief time you played?
I just couldn't. Okay. I just couldn't. 8 minutes I got into, and that includes loading of the title screen.
All right, because we do give a total thumb score, can you just give a thumb cramp thumb score to Boy and His Blob?
Yeah, right. So Boy and His Blob, 3.
3, okay, perfect.
Right, that's pretty good. Favorite game of all time.
Because, like, look, I think it did what it wanted to do. It was a platformer. You were a boy and you had a blob.
It didn't lie to you.
It definitely didn't lie to me.
You got what it said in the tin. That's what it's all about.
And that was kind of nice. You could, I think from the very short amount of time I remember playing it, there were some frustrating moments where the blob wouldn't do what the boy asked.
Much like owning a real life dog.
Yeah.
Much like owning a real life blob.
So I think maybe that's where I would lose a couple of those sweet sums. But yeah, War for the Overworld, if you liked Dungeon Keeper, and I know there's like a lot of like a bit of a cult following for that game because it was like a lot of fun, do check it out, and maybe you'll have a better time than I do. Because again, there's so many times I'm like, I don't know if this is my Mac that's the problem,
or
if it's the game that's the problem. And I don't know enough about video games to Google what the problem is. So I'm just like, playing video game, graphics jolty? Graphics shuddering?
Dear Google, game bad, help me.
Is it?
Kind regards, so, Joel Oldman Zaman. P.S. Make email, Mac compatible, sir, can read.
P.S. Boy Blob, fave game. So yeah, the 8 minutes of game time includes maybe 3 minutes of me going into the options menu, checking the settings, being like, resolution, lower? Box
didn't
that
fix
says
anything?
VFX anti-aliasing or something?
Yeah.
Off? Then on again. It didn't fix much, no, which was very, very frustrating.
That's a shame.
I do really love the Dungeon Keeper gameplay.
Yeah,
It kind of turns that whole RTS on its head, because rather than like finding an open field where you're building you know, whatever your buildings kind of thing. It's like, no, you carve it out. So everything is just kind of this, you know, basically this dirt.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You carve out the rooms.
I've never played Dungeon Keeper, but I played a bit of Evil Genius, which I think is sort of similar.
Okay.
Except instead of, it's that kind of thing where you're building a building instead of like a town or a city or a battlefield or whatever, but you're an evil genius, and it's kind of like more like a Bond thing rather than like a kind of like a fantasy thing.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoy that kind of gameplay, because I remember back when it was great because you had these little imps, which were your workers, and there was a button you could do to summon imps, and you could just like spam that, and all these imps just kind of like blah, blah, blah. But then you could slap them if they were being insolent, and you could slap them to death. But they were great. It was like a lot of fun, and yeah, I really miss playing that kind of game, and I was very excited
that,
to play another one. But like, there's expansions and DLC, so I assume that
it's got
a lot
good.
Of people were, you know, got it working on their computers.
How about you get everyone listening to send in their amount of thumbs?
Yeah,
if you can get it working on your computer,
first ever crowd review of a Thumb Cramps game.
War for the Overworld. Let me know if it's a good game. Because look, I'm curious.
What I like
excited.
Is that if people message you and they're like, "It's a great game," you can do nothing about it.
You can
just be more sad. You can't play it.
I just had a quick Google. Could not find any issues or mention of the game. So
maybe it's fake.
Jackson, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing Call of Cthulhu, which is a game for the PS4, and it's based on the Call of Cthulhu pen and paper role-playing game. I think it's kind of like maybe a bit of a spiritual sequel to a game called Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth, maybe?
It's funny that the first one has a longer title than the second one.
Yeah, I know. And look, I finished it. I clocked it, as we say in the parlance.
That's
the first Thumb Cramps clocking, I think. There.
Second, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, that's true.
The game famously 100%ed, 100% clocked by Joel Zammit to then give three thumbs.
To be like, did I like it? Here's a quick little amendment to my review of Spider-Man 4, because look, I'm sorry. We've got a few emails and comments. Look, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I said that Mr. Negative was a villain made for the PS4. They're not correct. Apparently, turns out, Mr. Negative, long-term villain of Spider-Man. I mean, long-term, I mean like 2000 and like maybe 8 or maybe 12.
Joel Zammit, so look, comic book aficionado,
Spider-Man,
Marvel head extraordinaire.
Yeah, look, Spider-Man, not my my sort of go-to superhero that I like read consistently. And also, apparently, he might have been a villain of Cloak and Dagger, which, look, I like in concept, but never read an issue.
No,
so,
fair. It's like
look,
Dove and Hawk. Yes. Yeah,
So apologies. So yeah, Mr. Negative, not so much made for the PS4. However, they did put a lot of time, energy, and like marketing campaign for Mr. Negative to sort of build him up. And I guess I'm just a confused dumb boy.
I guess egg on your face.
Yes.
So Call of Cthulhu, yeah, I clocked it. I finished it.
A game you famously clocked.
Mm-hmm. I clocked it. And it was a weird game because when I first started playing, so it's really simple. And the first thing you notice when you start playing it is that it looks like it came out in 2009.
Oh, sick.
And also
that was 9 years ago.
I had it in my head that this game was like not like a AAA release, but like it was kind of like a big deal.
Yeah.
Turns out that I got that confused with a game called Call of Cthulhu The Sinking City, which comes out next year. I don't know if they're made by the same company. I don't know why two Call of Cthulhu games have come out so close to each other.
Also, I have another theory.
Yeah.
That game that comes out next year is actually a spiritual sequel to the game that you mentioned before, not the game that you currently
play.
Maybe.
It's hard to tell.
Because one has a subtitle, then one doesn't. And then the next one has a subtitle
but
again.
They all use the same font. So... Who knows?
Far out.
Immediately I'm like, it doesn't look great. And that's really disappointing for a game that you're playing in 2018. Like, the character models are weird looking. The main character, who's like a kind of grizzled detective, sort of looks like, you remember Oblivion, the game?
Yes.
The Bethesda game, the Elder Scrolls game, and how everybody's heads kind of look like potatoes with faces.
Yep.
Imagine somebody did a HD update on that face, but they didn't change the way the face was shaped. That's what every face looks like in this game.
So it kind of is like, oh, okay, it looks like... No, it's not a face.
Yeah, you're like, it's just not what a human looks like.
Like, hair technology, I'm pretty sure has improved than looking like brown worms coming out of your face.
Yeah, it was not great.
So it's a bit of GoldenEye face going on.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
HD'd up. So like skin textures, hair textures, but just a wrong shape.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, pretty. Well, the main character's that's... face looks like it looks Cro-Magnon. It looks like a caveman's face.
Yeah,
hit and, with a shovel.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that
and,
rules.
Because I was watching you play a little bit of it every now and again, and the best part of it, where there was sort of any sort of cutscenes or animations, the lip syncing did not terrible. Add up at all.
No, oh, not even rules. Close. Not even close.
Yeah. Maybe it's a throwback to 70s horror movies that were overdubbed.
So the gameplay it's basically a puzzle game or like a puzzle sort of detective game with sort of mild stealth elements. Where you're this detective.
I love a mild stealth.
But it's like because it claims in the box like it's got stealth elements, but actually not really. Mm. Like the game is very it does, but not in a way that. It's like a very minor part of the game.
Yeah, there was a few times where you were trying to stealth, but like the demon or whatever, the Cthulhu monster you're running from, just knew where you were anyway.
Yeah.
And you could outrun it, so it was just more of a...
One of my main problems with the game is that they kept on introducing mechanics, and then the next time that I would be in a situation where I thought I was meant to use that mechanic wouldn't work. So, for example, there's a section in a asylum where I had to stealth my way past guards.
Mm.
And then there was a section where I had to fight like a Cthulhu, like an eldritch being,
yep,
where I couldn't stealth, but it started me off hiding. So I was like, oh, cool, another stealth section. No, I just had to run, and that was very confusing. It's also kind of a bit of an RPG in that, and that was kind of maybe the best parts of it, is that you had five stats, which were like they were kind of like really unique, I found, for like an RPG. They weren't like your strength, your quickness. They were like your psychology, your eloquence, your investigation, your spot item.
Ooh, I love that stat. Skill.
Your occult and your medicine. As you played the game, various, if you had, high sort of like levels in those stats, you kind of unlocked different things. And because you're investigating this mystery, there are a lot of fun moments where you're like, oh, because I had a high medicine, I learned this about this body. And that meant that when I'm chatting to this person later on, I have that information to ask those questions. Unfortunately, the game's really linear, so it actually doesn't matter. It's got this terrible illusion of choice where the game's like, the first thing you do is you're in your office and there's a whiskey in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you drink the whiskey and it's like, your destiny has been affected. And you're like, ooh, and that keeps happening. But I've discovered there are four endings.
Uh-huh.
And they're all pretty similar.
Drunk ending, you're a Cthulhu ending, good ending, extra good ending.
Basically, it's like
I shouldn't have been close to right there.
It's like, you die, someone else dies, you win, but the world ends, you just win.
Which ending did you get?
I win, but the world. No, I cause the end of the world.
Bad boy run.
Bad boy run, obviously. But yeah, it's really frustrating because I really like, there would be like moments where you are investigating a crime scene.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I put heaps of points into medicine. I'm like, oh, I know heaps about the body. That'll be really useful. And then I would use that character choice or that dialogue choice chatting to the next person. But it would work out anyway. Like, so for example, there's an area where there's a cop who's clearly one of the main characters that's meant to come with you.
Yep.
And you can use your eloquence to be like, he like catches you looking at a crime scene and you're like, hey, let's team up.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're not going to trick me with your lies. And I was like, ah, damn, my eloquence didn't work. But he's like, but I'll join you anyway. And I was like, so I guess it didn't matter. I guess I could have chosen anything and he'd have come anyway.
Hey, cop! Shut up!
Come with me.
Yeah. I'll come with you anyway, even though you're rude.
The puzzle started off like quite fun, and I suck at puzzle games. In fact, they're one of my least favorite kinds of games after turn-based fighting games like Child of Light.
Boy, have I got a recommendation.
Can't stand him. And normally with a puzzle game, I'm like, I hate this, and I look it up because I just can't be bothered. One of the games that killed me like that was, what was it called? The Amnesia, The Dark Descent. I hated that game. I was frustrated the whole time, and I just had to look up the solution to puzzles. But in this, I didn't. In this, I figured out all the puzzles myself. Felt pretty good. The puzzles were simple. They were like easily explained. I got it. However, that is for like the first half of the game, all the puzzles are great. The second half of the game, all the puzzles are trial and error, and that's hell. Like there's one section where I'm in like an eldritch realm or whatever, and there's like this maze of bridges going from where I am to the area I need to be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some of the bridges are fake, and you fall to your death if you go on them. There is no way of telling which bridges are fake other than falling. And that's rough as hell.
So a little amendment to that. There actually is a way. So what you do, because Jackson is impatient in life and in video games, but as you walk on the planks, you'll notice your character will dip a little bit if it's a fake bridge. Also, from basic memory and trial and error of, oh yes, that bridge was fake, I probably shouldn't go that way again. Jackson, however, went that way again. So maybe less on the game.
My incompetence aside, I still don't think any puzzle should come down to trial and error. Because even once I got past those bridges, there were six wheels that I had to turn, and I just had to choose one at random.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating.
Yeah, watching this game is sort of indicative of like my problems with any game that is like touts being like, oh, your choices have consequences. And it all boils down to, at the very end, one of two or maybe one of three choices. Mm. And I think Fable, like the Fable series, is very, I guess, guilty of doing this. Is like, no matter how much of like a bad bloke that you are throughout the game, where you're, you know, slaughtering villagers and like upping the rent or just kicking dogs, at the very end of the game you can just turn on a dime and be like, no, I choose the good ending because I'm a good boy.
That's a coward's game.
Exactly.
Don't like let my choices dictate the ending
that I
don't
get.
Give me a choice to pick the ending right of the game. And in video games defense, I don't think they do that anymore.
I know. I just like, say for example, Mass Effect, all the Mass Effect games. Oh well, 1, 2, and 3, because I have not bothered playing Pathfinder or Andromeda, whatever the one was.
Pathfinder,
Andromeda.
Yeah. You are a Pathfinder in Andromeda. I know that much.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay,
that's your rank from memory, because I played maybe 10 minutes, and I just went, I miss the old ones. These faces are wrong. But even like those games, which are like, you know, really tout being like, oh, all your choices have impacts, and they do on the game. And it all boils down to, at the end, it's like you end up just choosing one of three options anyway. And like, look, I'll die on the hill of the Mass Effect 3 endings because they're beautiful and they make me cry. But you kind of like, no, let my choices.
Three games worth of choice shouldn't boil down.
Yeah. I guess at least with Call of Cthulhu, if you've made certain choices through the game, you will get extra endings to choose, but it is so rough that it doesn't choose the ending for you.
It doesn't choose the ending for you.
No. So you get, at the end of the game that I got, I had two choices that I could pick.
Yeah. It was basically like, keep the ritual going or stop the ritual.
Yeah.
So it's like, end the world or not.
Yeah. But apparently, if you do different things, you can get two other options. To its credit, though, and this is the last thing I'll say on it, is that because I went and I looked up what people's opinions were on the game, I went on the subreddit, there are heaps of ways to solve every encounter. And I think that's really
good.
Cool. So in one area, I found a secret passageway by just exploring the room again and again and again until I found a secret panel, cracked it open. I had previously picked up a crowbar so I could brute force my way through and find the secret panel. However, if I hadn't picked up the crowbar, there's a piano in the room that you can play, and if you play it from left to right, it opens the secret passage.
Cool.
Or when I was in the asylum, I needed to cause a distraction, and there were like at least three or four different ways that I could have achieved that. And that's something I think you don't really find that much in games, where they do give you like proper options for solving your puzzles, you know, like and I just think it did a really good job with that. So
yeah, it seems very reminiscent of like the RPG, like the pen and paper.
Yeah, exactly. You could feel that occasionally. Yeah. Like, this has definitely come from a pen and paper RPG.
And I like the mechanic where you could recreate a crime scene.
Yeah, that was really a lot of fun. Although, again, see, I could recreate a crime scene, and that you kind of went into this like other world, and all of the, you would look around the room and you would find clues, and I would use my stats, my medicine, my psychology or whatever to look at the different clues. But I don't know, if I had a low medicine, I think I would have still been able to find that clue.
Yeah.
So my stats didn't really affect it. So I think ultimately, unfortunately, and I know I clocked it famously. I'm going to give it one knuckle because.
One knuckle?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because, and here's the censure, friends, it's $90 on the PlayStation Store in Australia, at least. And frankly, it is not worth $90.
Yeah, you clocked it, famously, in maybe 8 hours, 6 hours? Yeah. Like, basically one sitting, I think.
One sitting, and I, in the end, was pretty disappointed with it. So I think, not worth $90, I'm giving it one knuckle.
One knuckle?
Yeah. I think you were saying, like, if you had put it down and turned it off, you just wouldn't
but
go
that's
back.
But that's why I kept playing, because I knew the moment, if I had been like, you know what, I'm taking a break, I would have never come back to it. I had to force my way through it.
See, just full circle, I thought that was going to happen with Child of Light if I had to put it down in the first, like, hour.
Yeah.
But then once I hit, like, hour two, I just keep going back to it. It's been It's like sitting next to me now, and I'm trying really hard not to play it. Also, I was able to check how long I have played it for. 11 hours currently.
Wow. There you go.
That's pretty good. This is a thing where it comes down to like video games sort of value for money as well. Mm. It's like, what, $30, 11 hours, still going good, having a good time.
$90, 90 10 hours, boo. Not even 10, like 7 and did, one knuckle.
If you did 10 hours in one sitting, I am worried about you.
I don't think it was 10. It might have been 6. But yeah.
It was like an afternoon kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be even 5, 4 maybe.
2. Yeah.
25 minutes.
Four seconds.
It was a Thumb Cramps famous... It was, clocking,
you know those
speed
games
run,
where it just
any
says
percentage.
Press start and you press start and it's like the end.
Congratulations, you're a winner.
Yeah!
I did Man, it. I love this game. Can't wait for the sequel. Well, so that gives this week's episode a thumb score of 4 thumbs, a shrug, and a knuckle. Although... 7 thumbs if you include a boy in his blob, which I do.
Absolutely.
It's canon.
My
it's
favorite reviewed. Game.
Just Thumb Cramps, thumb canon.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. And if you want to get in contact with us, email us in at sanspantsradio@gmail.com. And until next week, stay thumb cramps.
Stay cramped.
Arena.
Look, we've still got time to sort this out.
Yeah, we'll get there.